Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting ones. We have the guy who first designed the V-12 rocket engine, a guy named Jesse G. Vinson, of all places in Arkansas, was born there. Those of you who remember the movie Dr. Zhivago, Boris Pasternak, the Russian author, was born today. We had the scandal in Britain involving the prime minister brought his government down. Harold Macmillan was born today. Great actress, Judith Anderson, was born today. Bertolt Brecht, German-Jewish playwright. Stella Adler, who taught Marlon Brando, James Dean, a lot of the actors of the 50s and 60s and even 70s, real actors, not these pretty boy faces we see today. Stella was born in 1902. Oh, broad. Lon Chaney Jr. was born today. The first of the really great black sopranos, opera singers, who was accepted. Marian Anderson was the first great one, but she didn't get the credibility and acceptance because she was black and in a time of segregation. But Leontine Price came from Laurel, Mississippi. I don't know if she's still singing, but she made many recordings, and she was born today. Another great black singer, pop singer, Roberta Flack. Among the deaths today, this is very interesting. Lord Darnley, he was the husband of Mary Queen of Scots, the father of the later King James I, who renounced Catholicism and was a Protestant. He was murdered in his bed, reportedly with a young boy. Joseph Lister died today. He was the guy that pioneered antiseptics, and the operations done prior to his time, dirty hands, blood all over the place. Many people died, became very sick because there was no antiseptic, there was no cleanliness in the operating room or on the battlefield. Great Russian producer, director, Sergei Eisenstein died today, 1948, died around 50 years old. He was gay, but a great artist. Another great actor, Brian Ahern, was born today. I remember him from Auntie Mame, great film, and several other films. He had a very mellifluous voice. Among the events today, the French Academy, one of the premier prestige awards that a person can get to be brought into the French Academy, and you do that by your achievements. This was founded by Cardinal Richelieu. Richelieu was a very wily political operative who controlled politics in the time of Louis XIII of France. In 1763, this is how the British got Canada. The French and Indian War ended, and Britain, France, turned over Canada to the English. And that's why, and the way the Catholic Church dealt with it, because the French did not populate Canada like the English populated their colonies and acquisitions. The Catholic Church told the French Canadians, Quebecois, that your bodies belong to the English capitalists, your souls belong to the church. And there's been this problem in Canada for two centuries. The French Canadian Catholics have produced journalists, lawyers, but they didn't produce the entrepreneurial class. That was left to the English and the Scotch, who also populated Canada. But their prime ministers up there have been about half and half French Canadian. And we're generally Catholic. In fact, we're all Catholic, as far as I know. And even the English speaking, the English and English Irish, who are Catholic, but are also bilingual. In fact, the current Prime Minister of Canada, Conservative Stephen Harper, is from the West. I don't think he's Catholic. I don't know what his religion is, but he is also bilingual. In fact, bilingualism is required in Canada. That's French and English. On this day in 1840, Victoria, who was the queen, she married her cousin, Prince Albert, and he was the royal stud. And, of course, the British royal house has been very German since the 17th century. And this is appropriate for Mitt Romney. In 1846, the Mormons were persecuted in the eastern part of the United States. They burned their settlement in Nauvoo, Illinois, and then there's a thing called the Mormon Trail, which, if you've driven along, it is known for its fleas and mosquitoes through Iowa. They started their march west and ended up in what is called Salt Lake City today. In 1855, this is very relevant to the controversy about Obama. Congress passed a law that said all children born of U.S. parents abroad were granted U.S. citizenship. This is one of the controversies about Barack Obama, and still there are people who are still not satisfied that he was born in Hawaii, as his supporters claim. In 1870, the YWCA, Young Women's Christian Association, was founded. In 1880, and this is relevant to Catholics in this controversy about contraception going on, because of the Obama administration, Pope Leo XIII, who was a very socially aware pope, he wrote issued an encyclical. Now, that is the Latin, the Catholic Latin for treatise, and it was about marriage, what marriage was, as the Catholic Church saw it and still does today. In 1897, the New York Times, which is a Jewish heritage paper, was started by the Oaks family, who were German Jew ethnics from, I think, Tennessee. Their slogan became "All the news that's fit to print," but apparently there seems to be news that's fit to print that doesn't get printed, not only by the New York Times, such as the Stephen Neri case here in San Francisco, and that there are other people who are in the military who have been abused and are being abused by local civilian authority. We have a case up in Solano County, which we'll get into. A woman in the Air Force filed a court case. She was in the Solano County jail, and she claimed that she was abused. In 1899, the Spanish-American War ended, and Puerto Rico and Guam was ceded to the McKinley administration. And this is, again, my favorite war, one of my favorite wars, 1904. The Japanese pulled a sneak attack, we should have learned, on the Russian fleet, which was in Port Arthur in Manchuria. They sank many of the ships, and one of the greatest circumnavigation of the world occurred with the Russian Black Sea fleet, which was sent over 5,000 miles to try to relieve Port Arthur. This was Admiral Rodzefensky. One of the ships that was there, in that area of the Pacific, the Barig, had an interesting history which is connected to the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll get into that another day. In 1916, the British introduced conscription, that's drafting of able-bodied men. Now, if you, those of you who saw the War Horse film, they had a scene there where the where war was declared between England, Germany, and France, and Russia, and where the British thought it was going to be a splendid little war and that they were going to kick the Kaiser's butt in a month or two. Well, it didn't last. It lasted from 1913 all the way to 1918. A very disastrous war for all the countries involved. It destroyed the Habsburg monarchy in Austria, the Russian monarchy in Russia, and the German monarchy in Germany. Only the British monarchy survived. Maybe it was because they were across the English Channel. And those of you who remember the singing telegram in 1933, it was the first delivery of the singing telegram. We don't have those anymore. And in 1933 also, Hitler declared the end of Marxism. And it's interesting because the German army, which was restricted to 100,000 men, of course, when Hitler became chancellor, he just ignored that, as he ignored a lot of other things. But he allowed the German army to train in Russia, and Stalin permitted this. There was this deal between the two dictators. It shows you it goes far, far beyond ideology. In 1934, the first Jewish ship broke the British blockade of Palestine. Jews were not allowed to emigrate into Palestine because it would upset the balance of power there and get the Arabs there who were living there all upset. And that eventually broke out into the 1948 war when Palestine became independent. 1954, we have another liberation controversy. General Eisenhower, who was president, President Eisenhower, warned against intervention in Vietnam. The French, before the defeat of Dien Bien Phu, the French asked Eisenhower to send military supplies and to intervene in Vietnam. He said no, remembering what General MacArthur had warned, but he did. I think they sold him some jets. And there's a famous movie called The Wreck of the Mary Dear. We'll get into that another day. In 1962, and this is relevant to San Francisco and Mayor Christopher, we had the notorious spy case of Colonel Rudolph Abel, who had been a spy in the United States from the KGB for, I think, a good 15, 20 years. He operated out of New York. He was caught by the FBI, and about later, Francis Gary Powers, who was a spy pilot for the Air Force, for the CIA, flew these jets. We had the U-2, which was supposed to be impregnable to anti-aircraft and missile stuff, but could shoot it down. Well, we found out that the Russians had the ability to shoot down even the U-2, which was supposed to be one of the best planes ever made for spying. And, of course, the Khrushchev government made a big political propaganda take on it. And it destroyed the summit that Eisenhower and Khrushchev were supposed to meet in Vienna. George Christopher had something to do with trying to amend diplomatic relations between Russia and the United States. In 1972, we're going to play a clip in this song. I think it was Paul McCartney of the Whigs published this song, "Give Ireland Back to the Irish," and so we're going to play a clip from that right now. And we found it in our archives, and I think it's kind of funny. Where is it? In the meantime, I thought we had it here. Let's see. This is weird. I know we had it. Oh, here it is. Give Irish back to the Irish. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Well, it was just a clip. Now, this is relevant today, considering the Ninth Circuit, or some people call it the Ninth Circuit, out here headquartered in both San Francisco. Well, it's in, the court hears cases. The main court is here in San Francisco, but there is the branch in Seattle and then in Pasadena. And it's one of the biggest circuits, if not the biggest circuits, of the entire federal court system. In 1988, a three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the Army's ban on homosexuals was illegal. However, on appeal, they were overturned. So now we're back to this with the gay, lesbian, transgendered marriage issue. So things have come full circle in the worst possible way. We are hearing, a lot of people didn't know this, but in 1966, a federal law was passed that banned illegal foreign political campaign contributions and foreign intervention in American political campaigns. Here in San Francisco, one of our most controversial and corrupt mayors was receiving money from China, from Greece, I think, and also from Canada. That was Mayor Agnos. Thankfully, he was a one-term mayor. He shouldn't have even had that. But he also got money from the president of the World Bank, which I think is an Australian. And this, you know, the media, this is news that should have been printed but and was fit to print but wasn't printed. Again, since this is Black History Week, we should remember the contributions of blacks to American medicine, especially in wartime, that I think it was Dr. Charles Drew from Chicago who invented the blood transfusion system. And, of course, they segregated the blood, thinking this fallacy that one drop of black blood would make a white man a Negro, or if that whole thing. And then they had these in the South and in these other parts of the country, these stupid racial quantification laws, like you could be an octoroon and all kinds of silly stuff that it's in the same category as eugenics, which Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was involved in. The other thing is that we should remember that there were black hospitals around the country that provided services to black people who were denied medical care in the regular hospitals at the time. Also, this isn't known, and I should get into it more. They're talking about Hitler. He drove the doctors out, and those doctors who could get out got out, because prior to Hitler's coming to power in Germany, the great medical teaching institutions were in Vienna, Berlin. A lot of the doctors, American doctors, trained there, and they had a lot of Jewish doctors or Jewish heritage, because a lot of these guys did not practice. They were assimilated. So what happened when these doctors, in fact, my mother's stepmother's father was one of those doctors, but he didn't get out after Kristallnacht. She did. Those doctors who emigrated to the United States, the American Medical Association did everything they could to keep them out of practicing in the hospitals at the time. And here are some of the finest trained, best trained, and most competent, ethical experts in the field of all types of medicine. And they were banned. They couldn't take the tests. All kinds of crazy roadblocks were put up. So what did these doctors do? This is beginning of the rise of Jewish hospitals around the United States. And when you see these names, Jewish names like Montefiore hospitals, Edgewater, I think in Chicago, Weiss in Chicago, hospitals with Jewish names, this was the origin, goes back to this ban and barring of Jewish doctors who happened to be Jews who were trained abroad prior to World War II. After World War II, a lot of this changed. So this is another stupid racist thing that's in our society. Unfortunately, we're getting over a lot of this. Another racist thing is that this enlightened generation of blacks are now saying, hey, I don't use this term African-American. It's not on my passport, and I don't even know anything about Africa, nor do my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents. One of the myths is that anybody who is black or light-skinned black is from Africa. Now, the term Negro is a Spanish term which means black. And, of course, there are the derogatory descriptions of black people. Also, in Asia, there are Indians. There are people from the subcontinent who are so dark they're, in fact, black. There are people in formerly Ceylon, which is now Sri Lanka, who are black. There are people in the Philippines, Negritos, who were black. And they aren't African. It just shows you how stupid this is. I can't help that noise in the background. Sorry, folks. Don't worry. They're not coming for me. So these are some of these stupid racial stereotypes. And also today, more and more, especially in the metropolitan areas, we are seeing much more integration among the various groups. We are seeing a generation of kids, probably up to, I would say, up to World War II, when American GIs went over there and they saw these lovely geisha girls and they brought these women back to America and they had children. We're seeing Eurasians. We're seeing Eurasians marrying Jewish heritage people. We're seeing Vietnamese marrying from the Vietnam War. We're seeing American GIs who've married and or even fathered Vietnamese kids. We're seeing Filipino Jewish. Lou Diamond Phillips is a multi-ethnic. So we're seeing more and more of that. We're going to see a multiracial heritage group, generation of Americans, and we're seeing it now. We're going to see a lot more of this because these kids are becoming of age where they can father and have children. And we're seeing it in the schools. I think California is one of the best examples of this. This state is changing from where it was once racist, and under the so-called progressives, they banned Asians. They supported the Asian exclusion back in the 20s and wanted to keep Indians on the plantations. And this is another one of these political fictions that progressives, so-called progressives today, claim that they're really progressive and not racist. But the origin of progressivism in the United States as a political movement was a white movement. Hey, keep Indians on the plantation, on the reservations. Restrict Chinese immigration, practice segregation of the blacks. So there's a lot of this political fantasy and fiction that's in our history about the relationships and how different ethnic groups were treated. We'll be back Monday, and we're working on our second broadcasting network. We'll be doing opposite days over there. So we're going to end with our usual theme. I'm still waiting for these political candidates to play some poker, and the winner takes the pot, no pun intended.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
politics or poker? Which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fajicinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Monday at 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and go to our YouTube site. We just put up the beginning of the debut of our video e-magazine. The first magazine chapter or series is Stalked, Lured, Raped, and Railroaded. The unpublicized documents involved in the U.S. Navy Stephen Nary's case. And there will be other exposés of how military personnel are spied on in their showers and how this stuff ends up on the web. Also, the glorification of male rape. This is the fallout, apparently, from Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We're seeing a whole slew of this filth on the Internet and in other places. So we'll get into that, and, of course, we document our stuff as much as possible. This is Peter Paul Rizzola. Good night.